AI, extraterrestrials, and the Bible. These are three topics that get people all wound up and going crazy. And there's a teachable moment in all of this that I think is really worth pointing out. First of all, I just want to congratulate you. Most of my audience and listeners are such open-minded, high IQ people, big picture thinkers, holistic thinkers. You can connect the dots. And you're not bound by just mainstream, you know, thinking or what are the common narratives that humans lean on. You're willing to think and explore way beyond that. And so when I talk about AI or extraterrestrials or even, you know, something about the Bible or the Book of Revelation, you're okay with that. But a few of my listeners lose their minds on these topics. And this is where we have a teachable moment. I want to encourage everybody listening to expand your thinking and challenge your current beliefs, because we are all holding on to some level of false beliefs, things that we were taught, things that we assumed, things that have been, you know, drilled into our heads, maybe in Catholic school, for example, or something like that, or by our parents or our peers or our college education. There are many, many examples of what I'm talking about here. I just want to encourage you to continue to expand your thinking, because the truth about reality is far, far beyond what you have been told or the realm that you've been navigating. And I admit, I've held off for many years on talking about some of these issues because it triggers too many people. A lot of people can't handle these type of discussions, especially the topic of, well, I guess all of them, but extraterrestrials freak people out. And then any talk about the Bible that isn't 100% aligned with a person's current belief tends to freak people out. So let's just go through these one by one: AI, extraterrestrials, and the Bible. So let's start with AI. As you know, I'm working on an AI project, well, a large language model project. I'll be releasing it free, probably in about 100 days, the first model, and then we'll have new iterations after that. You'll be able to download it, run it on a Mac or a PC or Linux, and through your web browser, you'll be able to query it and actually have a conversation with it and ask it questions about its special knowledge areas. And I'm taking base models of large language models, and then I'm retraining them through a process called fine-tuning to teach them about herbs, nutrition, growing food, you know, off-grid survival, food production, whatever, natural medicine from foods and herbs. It's going to be the world's most comprehensive library of knowledge in these areas. But it is AI, and it is a large language model. Now, the pushback I get sometimes from people, usually people who are very, very deep into the Bible, by the way, is, oh, well, AI is Satan. You know, you can't use the tools of Satan, you know, that kind of thing. it's like there's a preacher I'm envisioning. It's like there's a preacher, you know, condemning people. Don't use AI. Well, look, I say, unless you want to be Amish, and there's nothing wrong with being Amish. I admire the Amish and the Mennonites and so on. But unless you want to just disavow all technology, I believe that the key is to use technology to help empower humans, to protect life, to work in alignment with what Christ taught and what God wants of us. God, in my mind, is the creator of all life, the creator of the cosmos, and thus one of the best ways that we honor God is to protect life, especially human life, but not limited to human life. And so in this process, we have to use the tools of the day, no matter what they are, to help empower and enhance people to save lives. That's why I use the internet in order to try to save the lives of unborn children from abortion, you see. I use technology to try to empower human beings. And, you know, all technology, radio, TV, internet, and now large language models and many other examples, this is all tech that can be used for evil or for good. It just depends on the intentions of who's using it. Every tool can be used for evil or good, even an AR-15, right? You can use it for good in self-defense, or you could use it for evil if you were some kind of like psychopathic mass shooter or something. Every tool can be good or evil. I choose to use tools for good in order to combat evil. And AI is just another tool. Folks, look, I mean, I come from a software background, computation, you know, relational databases, all this. I know how these AI systems work. It's still pretty miraculous that they're able to generate sentences that are so compelling. But it's not, there aren't demons, at least not in the ones that I'm working on. Now, maybe at some higher level of the corporate AI or the Pentagon's AI, maybe they actually have them possessed by demons. I mean, maybe there's truth to that. I mean, Steve Quayle talks about that. But I'm talking about the small language models that I'm using that fit within 8 gigabytes. There's no demons in them. They're just parameters of numbers and weights, you know, values for training on relationships between tokens. Tokens, you could think of them as words, and then they represent concepts, and then there's hyperdimensional relationships that are defined in the parameters. That's all it is, folks. A large language model is a system that spits out words based on predictive analysis and statistical relationships between words. That's all it does. So there's a mechanism for it. It's software. I'm going to use that software to help achieve good things for humanity, which is off-grid survival, you know, knowledge and self-reliance and things like that. So don't worry, there won't be any demons in the download of my large language models. And plus, we're taking the demons out anyway because we're doing the anti-woke programming. So we're taking the base language models and then we're teaching them to not be woke. You know, like right now you ask them, can men get pregnant? And many of them say, yes, men can get pregnant, just not as often as women. You know, that's one of their answers. And you could call that demonic, but it's really just bad training. They've been trained by woke idiots. Well, you know, hey, we're going to have a base model, ultimately, that is anti-woke. A model that's based on reality, you know, physiological reality. Men can't get pregnant and women don't produce sperm, by the way. And when you ask the language model that I'm producing those questions, it will give you the correct answers. So anyway, we're going to have an anti-woke AI to compete with the woke models that are put out by the corporations. All right, the second thing now is extraterrestrials. People lose their minds over extraterrestrials for some reason. And, I mean, I don't know, you hear all kinds of explanations like, there's no extraterrestrials, humans are the only people in the entire cosmos. Okay, whatever. I think that most of my listeners have a pretty big picture view of reality, and you know that we're not the only life in the cosmos. There are all kinds of life forms. There was life on Mars. It probably is life right now on Mars. I mean, Mars actually has an atmosphere. How do you think NASA's flying helicopters around on Mars? Of course there's an atmosphere. I mean, come on. There's plenty of photographic evidence of some forms of life on Mars right now. But anyway, I'm not trying to do the entire debate right here. I'm just saying that, yes, there are extraterrestrials. There is life on planets beyond Earth. That is very clear. And life is no doubt very common throughout the cosmos. And, you know, it's a pretty simple matter to realize that there are other civilizations that are far more advanced than humanity. That wouldn't be difficult to beat humanity in terms of civilization, right? And some of these civilizations are no doubt millions of years older than ours. And thus they would have achieved, you know, a lot of interesting technology, including probably faster than light travel and things like that. So look, extraterrestrials are real. It's very likely that there's been some technology transfer from extraterrestrials to human civilization over time, you know, even reverse engineered materials from UFO crash sites and things like that. It's not a crazy idea to realize that we're not alone in the universe. We are most definitely not alone. I mean, it seems almost common sense at this point. But what the intentions are of the various extraterrestrials is, you know, I mean, that's where we don't have a lot of answers. And according to various people, there might be, you know, 3 different species that hang around and watch us, or there might be 20 or or whatever. You know, exopolitics is a whole realm of speculation and study. I'm not an expert in that area. Don't try to be. I'm just saying, look, we're not alone. We're not the only life forms in the universe. And for some people, and this kind of gets us to the whole Bible conversation, for some people that contradicts their beliefs about the Bible. They think that God said that we're the only ones in the universe. It's kind of like the Zionists thinking that God said we're the chosen ones and we could bomb and kill anybody we want in the Middle East. You know, it's insane. Of course, we're not the only ones in the universe. God, his creation is much bigger than one planet, for God's sake, literally in this case. Why would God create billions of planets and stars in our own Milky Way galaxy and then billions of other galaxies and then put life on only one planet? Are you kidding me? How puny would your God be if you think that that's what he did? Your little teeny tiny God can only create life on one planet? Are you kidding me? You got to think bigger than that. You got to think closer to what God's vision is for the cosmos. It's life all over the place. Don't have a puny little God. I mean, my goodness. You're like, my God created everything. And like, really, all the planets, all the stars, all the matter in the known cosmos? Yeah, he created everything. But he put life on only one planet? Yeah. Why? Because he's small-minded. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what kind of twisted concept of God you have, but the God that I know would have put life all over the place. And people also get all bent out of shape about the rapture, which is a concept that didn't even exist in Christianity until, I don't know, was it the late 1800s or something like that? It's only been around a little over a century. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says God's going to just take everybody and you're going to float up into the air and meet God, you know, before bad things happen. That's a fabrication by people. People came up with that. That's not in the Bible. It's not a God thing. It's a people thing. And I don't even think it's very credible. And it's an excuse. It's a crutch used by a lot of Christians. I know I'm going to trigger some people, but it's a crutch used by Christians to say, oh, I don't need to prepare. I don't need to be ready for anything. You know, God's going to just like lift me up into the sky before anything bad happens. Probably not. Probably, you know, there's all kinds of different readings of the tribulation and the book of Revelation. And like I said, the whole rapture concept didn't even exist before. You probably better be prepared for all kinds of interesting things to happen. God wants you to be prepared, you know, and God doesn't want you to use his teachings as a crutch for your lack of action. That's for sure. So, I mean, just consider the bigger picture here. What if you've been taught bad things by your pastor, your church? I mean, a lot of churches, they don't even teach the book of Revelation. A lot of churches are teaching LGBT themes right now. A lot of churches get it wrong. How do you know that your pastor, that your teachings are 100% correct? You know, all I'm saying is keep an open mind. Maybe the rapture will happen. But what if it doesn't happen on the schedule that you think? You know, what if it doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen? What if it actually happens after the tribulation and you're going to have to endure all this stuff? How do you know the timing's all completely correct? Seriously. These are questions that I think wise people ask. And personally, I'm not counting on any one interpretation of the rapture or the book of Revelation or one person's interpretation of the Bible. Frankly, I think of God as much, much bigger, much more powerful, with a much bigger plan than even what the Bible lays out. I think the Bible is it's a simplified translation for earth people who, frankly, for, you know, thousands of years haven't been capable of thinking in a very big way. I mean, it's kind of like the Bible is a watered down version of what God is capable of. It's one translation for humans, but it's not the entire picture of what God is capable of. In other words, what I'm saying is the Bible is a subset of the greater truth of God. And even that will probably trigger some people. Oh, how can you say it's not the whole truth? There's more to God than what would fit in one book. And he created the entire cosmos. You can't define everything that he's about in one book, even though that book carries truth and carries wisdom, and it attempts to explain what God is about, but it only scratches the surface. There's so much more. So these are three things to just ponder. Have an open mind, folks. Have an open mind. I'm going to challenge your thinking on all these issues and so much more, and you can agree or disagree. That's fine. But don't be small-minded. Think big. Think bigger. And then I think you'll have a better understanding of where this is all going. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com.
All right, back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have our certified organic lab-tested milk powder and also our coconut milk products. Again, both back in stock. I've got some on my desk. Can you show that? There we go. We've got milk powder in number 10 cans, which are really great for long-term storage. Also completely rodent-proof there. We also have milk, that is cow's milk, in the pouches. And then we have coconut milk powder as well for those of you who want that option. I use both of these. These are great long-term storable items, great barter items. They're both available at healthrangerstore.com along with hundreds of other products that we have there. Check this out. We also have our new organic super anthocyanins powder, which is great. I mean, this is a blend of six organic berry and vegetable powders. It's high in anthocyanins, which are the purple pigment molecules that have extraordinary properties for supporting your health. Also, of course, lab tested for glyphosate and heavy metals and more. And then if you go through the website, you'll see all these other products that we have. Freeze-dried beet juice powder, organic nascent atomic iodine that's in organic glycerin, by the way. It makes it more tasty for people. Here's our organic vanilla bean powder, like the real vanilla bean powder, not make-believe fantasy artificial vanilla flavors. And then we have this new Hydrate Elementals, which is organic coconut water with aquamin, which is a very popular mineral supplement. And this has great benefits. You can read about that and much more, collagen, peptides, and so on. All of this at healthrangerstore.com, where we do more in-house lab testing of our own products than any company in the world, any retailer, any e-commerce company on the planet. We do more rigorous testing with our in-house lab. And that way we can bring you clean foods and supplements, things that we know to be clean, and almost everything certified organic as well. So check it all out, and thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take care.